Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J.
And your girl, Love Love.
And this is the Mind His Business Show. Right here on Gospel Music Omaha, 100.3 FM. If you're in the Omaha, Nebraska or Council Bluffs area, you can tune into your FM radio station in your car or on your radio in your house. Or some people have FM radios in their showers or in their kitchen countertop while they're cooking or wherever it is that you like to listen to FM radio. We are there, 100.3 FM. If you are not in those areas, or you're in an area where the reception's not great, or you're listening somewhere else in the world, you can listen to us on the internet at gospelmusicomaha.com. gospelmusicomaha.com. That's where you can listen to everything that we broadcast on the FM station. We also broadcast on the internet. And I know I say that every single week, but that's because I want everybody to listen. And you could tell all of your friends, your family, your loved ones, anyone who might be interested in listening to gospel music. And I don't mean that kind that has raisins in the potato salad. I mean that kind that's got some collard greens and yams. Y'all know. Don't be laughing at me, Love Love. It's too early. It's too early to be laughing at me about it now.
You're wrong. Who puts raisins in the potato salad?
You know what? I'm half white, y'all. And I have never in my life met any white person that actually put raisins in a potato salad. I ain't never met nobody that actually does that. So I think that's just a stereotype that sounds good on social media. Like I said, I am half white, and even I don't like raisins in my potato salad, okay? So I don't know where that came from or who made that up. I think it's just clickbait personally. But no, that's an urban myth. That's an urban legend. I don't know nobody that does that. And I got plenty of white family members. And all y'all white family, all my white family members that are out there, y'all go ahead and put it in the comments. If you're following me on social media, y'all put that in the comments. You can co-sign me on that. I don't know anybody that puts raisins in their potato salad. I don't know it.
That's a no. That's a no for me. That's a no for me, dog.
Seriously, though, if you want to follow us on all of our social medias, you can follow this show at Mind His Business. MindHis. Business, BUSINESS, on all the socials, wherever you follow people socially, we're there. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can follow the radio station at Gospel Music Omaha, wherever you like to follow people on socials. That's where we are. And you can tell us whether or not you have actually in your life actually had potato salad with raisins in it. I want to know. I want to see. Y'all give me some comments. Have y'all ever had that in real life, or is that just a social media thing? Because I can tell you now, I've never experienced that ever in my life. I've never seen that. I don't understand it. It does not make sense to me. I ain't never seen it.
Nope.
Nope. It doesn't exist. That only exists in the social media world.
Which kind of goes into
some of the things that we've been doing here, some exciting things. Remember, we asked everybody what sort of topics you wanted to talk about, and that has really launched me into a personal exploration to kind of tie together and marry together what I do in my personal ministry as Lady J, also what I do in my corporate life. I know you guys probably don't know a whole lot, because I don't talk a lot about that other side of life, but I do actually work in the technology sector in my working life. So, you know, that whole 9-to-5 thing until you retire thing, I've been doing that for about 25 years now in the technology sector. And so, of course, things like AI, technology, how these things can be married together, both to make your life more productive as well as some of the pitfalls and some of the dangers that come along with that. So that's been just a personal passion of mine. And I've been able to marry that together with what we've been talking about here on the show, which is why I have so much interest in it. Well, I said all that to set the table to say that a few weeks back, I put together an ebook about the dragon in the machine. And if you've been following this channel for a while, you know that I've been talking about the occult roots of a lot of the things that are going on with AI, and how I Lady J's personal opinion is that AI is the foundation of what we would call the beast system of revelation, which is empowered by the dragon or Satan. So some of you actually took me up on my offer. You wanted to get the ebook, and there are a couple that I have not actually sent out yet because I found out some more stuff about this AI and how devious and how dastardly the things behind the scenes. And what I mean by that really is that everything that Satan does or has done ever since the Garden of Eden is all about deception, where there is truth that's there, but then there is just enough deception weaved in that you can get really derailed unless you are really in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so part of that book, ebook that I have put together for The Dragon in the Machine, I found out after I did my first draft of that book, I was all ready to send it out, and I had to put a hold on it because I discovered that in the special ways that I was getting the AI to give me various truths and information, it actually confessed to me, I know this sounds crazy, it actually confessed to me that some of the answers it was giving me, it was simulating the information, or basically lying or making it up. And so I, as a teacher, in the book of James, it says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brethren, because you know that you will be held to a greater accountability. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to put that out until I was able to put more explanation or disclaimers around what was happening with the results and the output I was getting. So I held off on sending it out. So for those of you that actually ordered the ebook, you have not been forgotten. You will get what you signed up to get. But I wanted to make sure that it was
there'll be more information on there.
Biblically and spiritually relevant and accurate. Having said that, I am not against using AI tools, because what AI tools are is they're basically just big sets of data and information that you then can access using natural language rather than having to write computer code and things like that. That in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. However, the morals of the companies and the individuals that have put these models together oftentimes get injected into the fabric of the outputs that we are given. And then layered on top of all of that, there's been a lot of science behind the AI where they say they don't understand how it's doing what it's doing. Well, we understand, because a lot of those things are spiritually driven. And so what I have done, because I'm getting so much information, I'm getting it so fast, that I decided instead of trying to put out an ebook, which takes a long time to put together and put out sometimes, mm-hmm. I've actually created a newsletter and a website so that I can put this information out faster. Okay? And I'm going to give you that website. And all I want you to do, this is all I want you to do if you're listening right now, is I want you to put in your email so that you can get on the free site. Now, I'm going to tell you that the newsletter, the general newsletter is going to be free, but there are some things that I'm going to have to put behind a membership structure, and I'll give you the reason why. Some of the information that I'm going to put out there, I actually don't want the public to know. I only want those who are believers, who are seeking spiritual truth about a lot of these issues. And I don't want, I don't just want anybody and everybody getting that information, if that makes sense. And sometimes the only way to keep it from the tire kickers and the casual people and those that would want to use it for bad purposes, sometimes you do have to put a gate around the information. So the website I want you to go to, I want you to get your phone out right now. Get your phone out, because I want you to put this website, and I want
some
this,
of them are like, we're on our phone with you right
now. I know
now,
you so on your phone listening right now. You right, can open up a web page on your phone and listen to
some. Some know
time.
How, some don't, because with live it'll pause stuff. On iPhones.
Okay.
On iPhones.
All right, well then memorize this. You ready?
Or come back once you get the phone settled. Come back and get this information.
This is all I want you to do this week. I want you to go to this website. It's called AI hidden info. And the way you spell it is AI hidden dot info. AI hidden dot info. I'll say it again. AI hidden dot info. So you get it? So it's the hidden information about AI. Mm-hmm. AI hidden dot info. Mm-hmm. All I want you to do today, right now, don't wait. Do it right now. I want you to put your email address in there. When you put your email address in there, I'm going to give you in your email box links to the articles, the information that I'm putting together, these mm-hmm. ebooks. Right now, I've got three ebooks already in the works, and the research that I'm doing is going so fast that I just can't put these books out fast enough. So doing it as a newsletter is going to be the way to go. So AI hidden.info. These are the three. Now this is the good juicy stuff that you're going to be able to access. The topics are about exposing the dark side or the occult side of AI technology, the beast system, transhumanism, all of that stuff. So I'm going to have the dragon in the machine that we've already talked about. I'm going to have the dark side of the music industry and all of the things that they do to fake numbers, to fake streams, to create artists. Some of those artists aren't even actual people. They're just literally AI, or they're literally generated on the internet. It's just not real. Like all of the stuff that I've been researching, of course, about the music industry, because I am Lady J. I have been credited as the first female Christian rapper ever in history. And so quite naturally, the music industry is close to my heart. You know that I competed for a Grammy. You know that Love Love and myself have been to the Stellars more than once. We've been on the red carpet at both of those events.
We've been to the Grammys. Yep.
So true. Being in the music industry, I definitely wanted to see what this Supremacy AGI had to say about the music industry and how, wow, it was mind blowing. The third thing that you'll be able to get when you get to aihidden.info, if you put your email in, is 150, this is crazy, terms that are occult terms that are used in IT and technology. For example, there's a programming language that most people write code in when they're writing code. It's called Python. Well, Python is a serpent, for example. There are other things in the code. They call them things like demons. I'm like, really? We're calling things demons in the code? Absolutely. Well, guess what? There are 150 occult terms that are used in computers, technology, programming, AI, and these things all have occult roots to them. Mm-hmm. And I've got a list of 150 of them just to show that this technology has so much occult connections to it that we as believers should definitely be aware of the enemy's schemes. The next one that I'm writing, and this is great, is how many of you use emojis? When you write emojis and you're writing a text or you're doing a post on Facebook or whatever, and you put the little happy face or the little laughing face or whatever it is that you're putting there. Now, I know some of y'all be putting that eggplant and that peach on there. Y'all better stop. But emojis, right? We have these little these little glyphs or these little images that we use as part of our messages when we're writing. Well, guess what? I just found out. I'm doing my research on this because I don't ever want to give you anything that I haven't already researched. I'm not just giving you something because somebody said it. I'm giving you what I'm actually researching. Well, the original 72 emojis, the first ones that were made, did you know that those original 72 emojis were based off of the 72 sigils of a certain occult? And I'm not going to say it right now because I want you to go to the website, aihidden.info. I want you to put your email in so you can get access to the newsletter that will show you the pictures of the original 72 sigils, which actually are portals to summon demons, and they are used in witchcraft. The 72 emojis that we first started off with, not the ones we have now, but the original ones that we first got, The first 72 emojis were made off of the 72 demon sigils. That blew my mind. I was like, what? This is really crazy. Like, Satan has infiltrated just about everything in our world system. And that's why Jesus talks about this world is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through. We are ambassadors from another kingdom. We are in the world, but not of the world. And I'm not saying don't use emojis. You know, of course, you have to follow the Holy Spirit with whatever the Holy Spirit directs you to do and convicts you to do. But I do encourage you to go and take a look at, put your email in aihidden.info, and I'll make sure that you get each one of those articles on the newsletter. It's going to be a weekly newsletter of the things that I'm researching and finding. And love, I could tell you were chomping. You were chomping at the bit. Really wanting to give some commentary.
Girl,
come on with it.
Just be motoring around.
I know, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So
what
you got?
What I wanted to say was that, believe it or not, Satan, okay, Lucifer, he is the God of this world. But if you look at the word God, it's with a small g.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is only one God that is the most high God, and that's King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to clarify, even though they have, and this is for people who really want the information that they're getting to be true. And not just the first layer, you want to go to the second layer, the third layer. You want to go all the way down below the dermis, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just like when I do hair, you know, I don't want to cut. You know, there's certain things that I don't want to do to make a person bleed, okay? But you want to get down below the dermis and get to the heart of the thing. And that is that Satan is the small g God of this world, but he's not the big G that it says in the beginning God with big G. Okay. Mm-hmm. You understand where I'm coming from now? Created the heavens and the earth. Okay. So there is a difference. I don't know where Lucifer, which, you know, it means son of the morning, but if you go down a little further to LSD, okay. LSD is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Are you understanding what I'm talking about here? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go and understand that just because he is the small g God of this world does not make him over the God over the whole entire universe. Okay. Mm-hmm. And any worlds that were there and there to come. So let that be understood, that there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and he is not going to be involved. So I just wanted to append that real quick, Jackie, because you were gone.
I was running.
You was gone. I had to try to catch you.
I was running.
So that's why I was going to lift my finger and go, you know, like you be in church. Right here.
Right.
Excuse me.
The one finger.
The one finger, yeah. Excuse me.
So That's really good what you had to say, because if we are not careful, we will allow fear to take hold. And God's word says that perfect love casts out fear, and God is perfect love. And so as long as you are hidden in Christ and you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you are knowledgeable about the word and you are walking according to his direction, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear, because once you are on the right team and you are, then you are beyond the reach of what Satan's plans and schemes are. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have trials or that we won't be tested or that there won't be pressure or persecution or hatred or a grieving process, even if you have to give up sinful habits or practices or things that you used to enjoy. But the Holy Spirit is calling you out. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. There are going to be some things you may have to let go in order to continue. It's like if you're on a boat. And all of a sudden you discover there's a hole in the boat and water is coming in. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to look around for things that you can dump out of the boat so that you're not so heavy. Because the more things that you're heavy, the faster the boat is going to sink. Mm-hmm. But if you can get enough stuff out of the boat so you can find the hole and plug it, then you do what you got to do, don't you?
That's right.
And so it's the same thing with our lives. Satan is looking to drain us dry of all of our spiritual power and potential. He wants us to be not effective. He wants us to be apathetic. He wants us to be complacent. He wants us to just be lazy, or to just say fatalistic. We just give up. Well, why mm-hmm. even try? Because look at all the things that he's doing.
Things is collapsing.
Why even try?
I can't even buy some bacon. I can't even.
And okay. If he's got you with that mindset, then he's already won.
No, he hasn't. But no, he hasn't already won.
If
no.
he can keep you.
You can get discouraged, but that does not mean that you have to stay down. If you can look up, you can get up.
If he can keep you thinking that, right. Well, you know, they just going to do what they going to do, and we can't stop
Slap yourself. So, do something, whatever you got to do. Well, awaken yourself.
But instead of that, the right mindset is, What kind of things can I remove from my life so that I can be lighter on my feet, that I can be more nimble, so I can find where the hole is right. in the boat and plug it?
Okay? Exercise. There might be that dopamine.
Absolutely. There might be things you might have to cut out of your life.
Salt.
Cut it out.
Cut it out. It's high blood pressure anyway. Cut that salt out. No, I'm serious. Or switch over to sea salt, you know, brown salt, something. But there are things. Sugar is another one. Sugar is so addictive. Sugar is a drug. I don't care what anybody says. You could tell them Love said it. Sugar is a drug, and it's a mind-altering drug. And if you have a lot of sugar in your body, and I'm not talking about natural sugar like monk fruit sugar. I'm not talking about that, because I absolutely love monk fruit sugar. But what I'm talking about is stuff that, why don't you check what type of sugars that you can get that are, you know, maybe you can start with, let me try some agave, okay? Maybe you can start, let me try a little bit of agave and stop pouring all this white sugar, you know? Why don't I try that? You know, but start somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. It starts somewhere, because that stuff get into your brain, your mind, it lullabies you, and before you know it, you laying on the couch sleep after a huge, isn't that right? After a huge dinner, breakfast, and you can't even move because you're in what do they call that, Jackie? A stupor.
You got the itis.
You got the itis. That's what it is. The itis. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I wasn't even talking about food per se.
But food.
But
is.
I'm saying in yeah. general. Do
food
you
is addictive.
Have? Do you have? You know, maybe you say you have a hard time finding time to. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go. Let's say maybe you have a hard time reading your Bible or finding time to read the Word or something like that. Well, did you know that the average person spends 7 hours per day on their screen, on their
phone,
on their phone or on their tablet or their computer, mm-hmm. just scrolling and looking at the latest person do the latest TikTok dance or whatever. We have plenty of time for the things that we find important. And maybe we say, well, maybe I need to cut out a little bit of that extra time that I'm scrolling social media and put that into setting my mind on, what does the Bible say? Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things.
Set
I think that's in
mm-hmm.
Colossians. I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But maybe we can toss a little bit of that idle time out of the boat, so to speak. Maybe some of our relationships that we have, maybe they're just no longer serving us. Maybe they served a purpose in the past, but maybe now, because we're trying to pivot and transition into something different that the Holy Spirit is calling us to, maybe we don't spend time with those same people that used to get us in trouble or waste our time or cause drama in our lives. I don't know about you, but
some people are addicted to drama. It's just like a drug. You have to detox yourself from sitting there watching, what's the name of those shows? Back in my day, it was called Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer, they used to get on there, and they used to say, and another thing, and we're going to fight. And Jerry literally would let them fight.
Jerry,
that's exactly what they would do. and they would be like, oh, I love a good fight. I love some Jerry Springer. And they just be, oh, they just be this. And if I was on there, I'd do this to her. It's the same identical thing. You have to detox. And like we said, some of you don't know how to detox. Some of you can't do without the television for even a whole day, or do without the phone for a whole day. Me, I could turn the phone off.
Okay.
So maybe you might need to turn your phone off and say, I'm going to literally put this phone while I take some time to just pray and just concentrate on the things that, which is you, concentrate on the things that I need help with. And King Jesus, this is the time that I'm taking out.
Now, I think that's the hard way to do it. What I have found works for me is to turn off the notifications, because it's a
But if the phone's turned off, then there is no notification.
Yes, but some
that's
people,
what I'm saying.
But I'm saying you gotta take the step somewhere.
Oh.
And for some people, if there's a serious withdrawal about it, like you're just so worried that, oh, you're gonna miss something if your phone is off, turn off the notifications. Like, go into your phone, into your app settings, and turn off all the Facebook and TikTok and whatever other notifications you get, whatever social media platforms that you're on, YouTube or email or whatever it is. Try turning off the notifications, and then try to take the icon off of your main screen. This is a very small change that you might notice a big return on this investment. Take that Facebook, that Instagram, that Messenger, that Telegram, that WhatsApp, that Snapchat. Take the icon off of your main screen and turn off the notifications. What this will do for you is it will make you more mindful of when you're using the app, because you actually have to go into the app finder and actually click on the app. And so now you know that, man, I'm intentionally going about opening this app. And hopefully that will make you more aware of how much time you're spending on the app. Also, if you turn off the notifications, then it will not interrupt whatever thing you're focused on at the moment. And that's important, because I cannot tell you how many times I'll be trying to get something done, and then ding, that little ding will go off, and I'm just compelled. I have to see.
It makes me mad.
What was it?
It makes me angry, because I'll be like, I was trying to do what you interrupt me for?
But it pulls that focus just long enough for you to have to now get back into the mode of what you were focused on. And then sometimes, what do? I open up Facebook because it says, "Oh, give say happy birthday to ... This is how I get caught. It says,
mine don't do that.
It says, "Say happy birthday to ... on Facebook," right? And I'm like, "Well, who?" Because it's the notification. Well, who am I supposed to say happy birthday to today?
My notification must be off for that, because I have to actually go on Facebook
But let me tell you.
So sorry for everybody. I didn't wish a happy birthday. It was not intentional. Sorry.
But let me tell you what happens to me, though. So I'm like, well, who am I supposed to say happy birthday to? I want to say happy birthday. So I click it, and then it gives me a whole list of people. And then it says, these are the people whose birthdays today. And then I make the little happy birthdays. And then it says, well, these are the people you missed their birthdays. And then I'm scrolling through them. Now, mind you, now I was supposed to be working, but the notification came on. It says, say happy birthday. So I'm like, oh, I got to say happy birthday, because it told me to say happy birthday. So when I get done with that, guess what it does? It doesn't close Facebook. It takes you to Facebook with all them little shorts and reels right at the top, right in your face.
Oh, wow.
And so then, you know, my little mind is like, oh, well, that's a reel, and that looks like that's going to be funny. Let me go ahead and click that real quick. And then you click that.
Well, I have iPhone. It don't be doing that with mine.
Well, I'm telling you, this how bad mine is. My Facebook be trying to control me. So then I get the short going, right? And then it's like, oh, that was funny. That's great. And then it automatically scrolls me to the next one. And
Whoa.
So I'm like, well, I got to watch that one.
So now you three layers deep.
And, right. And it all happened 20 minutes later. I'm still scrolling the Facebook reels or whatever. All because that notification came on and it got just enough of my attention to pull me away from what I was trying to focus on to begin with. So literally, I had to turn off the notifications. Not because I don't love y'all. I know if we Facebook friends and you have a birthday, I really want to say happy birthday to you, but I can't stop what I'm doing in order to pay attention to this, because then it steals my time. Now, earlier I said that the average person spends about 7 hours a day scrolling and on their screens and things. Mm-hmm. I wanted to slightly correct that, because I went to this website here. It's called explodingtopics.com, and the number of hours is a little different, but the point is still the same. So I'm putting this up for those of you that are watching on video here. It says time spent using smartphones, 2024 statistics. So as of 2024, this website did some statistics on how much time we spend on our phones. And so I'm going to just pull out just a little bit statistics here. It says, here's some of the highlights from the smartphone stats page. On average, people spend 3 hours and 15 minutes on their phones every day. And I'm sure that's more if you're a younger person, something like that. And then it says individuals check their phones an average of, get this, 58 times a day.
Ooh, no.
That means now you only awake for 16 hours a day and you checking your phone 58 times a day on average.
Nope.
And on average, we're spending 3 hours and 15 minutes on our phones every single day. That's the equivalent of a part-time job.
Nope.
If I was making $15 an hour for that 3 hours a day, that's about $50 a day that I could be making on a job. But instead, I'm just putting it on my phone. I'm not building a business. I don't have a side
and
hustle.
And this is every day?
Every single day.
So what's different that you didn't know? Didn't know a few hours ago. Well, I don't know.
Well, the worst part about it is I turned off Facebook for a couple of months and went back to it, and it seemed like didn't nothing change.
Ooh.
It looked exactly the same as it did when I left.
Ooh-wee.
It wasn't nothing new going on. Mm-hmm. But what am I getting at here? Imagine if it says here, if you spend on average, now some of us spend a lot more, some of us spend less, but on average, 3 hours and 15 minutes every single day. If you were to even carve out 15 minutes of that to read your word, study your word, pray, do some kindness for somebody, how much spiritual impact would that make in your life? If even you just for 15 minutes, turn these notifications off, mm-hmm. turn the phone off, and concentrate on something that the Holy Spirit would want you to concentrate on. How much more impact, spiritual impact, would that make in your life, in the lives of those that you love and those who you are called to minister to, mm-hmm. simply off of that alone? Look at how much time Satan is robbing from us, not even with bad stuff. There's nothing the matter with watching the cute little TikTok dance videos or laughing at something, because sometimes I be needing a good laugh. Boy, stuff be getting on my nerves. I'm like, let me watch something funny here for a minute. I get it. I totally get it. I'm the same way. But do I really need to devote the equivalent of a part-time job to that every single day? Do I really need to check this phone 58 times? What's going on that's so important that I got to look at it 58 times?
58. Oh, my goodness.
It says 3 in 4, going back to the statistics
58?
Here. 3 in 4 Generation Zers claim to spend too much time on their smartphones. And then it starts getting down into a little more details. It says, according to recent detail, the average person spends 4 hours and 37 minutes on their phone every day. So, of course, it balances out
based
on your age.
It's not a smartphone. It's not a smartphone. It's a dumb phone, not a smartphone.
And it says here, that's the equivalent to over 1 day per week or 6 days per month.
Hmm.
That, if you spend 4.5 hours, 4 hours and 37 minutes every day, that's the equivalent of 1 day per week. That's truly a part-time job. Because if you times 4.5 times 7 days, well, 4 times 7 is 28, and then 29, 30, 31. That's like 30. That's a full-time. Full-time job.
That means when they go to the restroom, they're on their phone. When they take a break, they're on their phone.
Sometimes when they eat, at the desk, they're on their phone.
Wow. Wow.
But if you think about it, 4.5 hours times 7 days a week. Mm. Because ain't nobody taking the weekend off and saying, I'm not looking at my phone this weekend. We doing this 7 days a week. So 4.5, look, let me get my calculator out. Let me really show you. 4 hours and 37 minutes. So we're just going to round that to a cool 4.5, okay? 4.5. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make the math easy. 4.5.
Make it plain now. Come on.
Times 7. 31.5. Now, if you worked at Walmart for 31 and a half hours, that's considered full time at Walmart. Mm-hmm. And we're just spending that just on the phone.
Just for free is what I call it.
On the phone.
Free.
Across the span of a year, that's approximately 70 days a year just spent looking at the phone.
Yep. Does your neck hurt when you...
That's the equivalent of a two.
Some of y'all, that's probably why y'all got humps and dumps in your neck like that. Yep, because I'm looking down.
That's like the equivalent of a 2-month vacation. And all we did was just scroll on the phone.
That is their vacation for some people, I guess.
It said, perhaps surprisingly, weekdays average more smartphone use than weekends. On average, people check their phone 58 times a day, and almost 52% of the phone checks, which is 30 per day, occur during work hours.
Nope.
So that means even during your job, you're still sneaking in looking at that phone.
Nope.
Picking up your phone can become a habit, as data shows that half of all screen time sessions begin within 3 minutes of the last time you picked up your phone. Hmm. So that means you pick up your phone because the notification said, hey, say happy birthday. And you're like, to who? And so you go and you do your thing.
Girl,
and you put it down.
Jackie.
3 minutes later, you're picking it up again.
Jackie.
What?
Imagine you got them truck drivers and all of them on the phone with porn. Imagine how long they're on their phone for, Jackie. Imagine. Can you only imagine?
And so now this is interesting here. It says how much time, this is a breakdown of time spent on the phone by each time you pick it up. So less than 2 minutes, you do that about 40 times a day. And 2 to 10 minutes, that's about 15 times a day. And you spend 10 or more minutes at least 3 times a day on average. This is average for most of us. So that means I pick up the phone because it dinged. Hey, say happy birthday on Facebook. And so I go, and for 2 minutes, I click around. I do my little happy birthday.
And Big Bully Billy is on.
So that's really wild. And there's a lot more. There's a lot more on this website we can get to. But what I'm getting at is that we have time for the things that are important to us. Mm. But just as importantly, we allow our time to be stolen from us little by little. It's not the big things. Oftentimes, it's those little things. We watched an interesting video this week. It was about some of the underlying influencing factors of homosexual attractions and behaviors. And this is not a conversation about homosexuality. It's a conversation about attention. What the psychologist was saying, he had treated over 500 men that experienced same-sex attractions, and he does what's called reintegrative therapy, not conversion therapy. That's crazy. That they've made that out to be a crazy thing. Reintegrative therapy really is not even focused on addressing the homosexuality. It's addressing the parental trauma or issues that happen as a child that form some of the underpinnings of same-sex attractions that happen later in life. Mm-hmm. I know that was a big old word salad. But what the psychologist was getting at, after treating over 500 men, most of whom successfully, he said, when a child is young, let's say 2 to 3 years old, especially for boys, that's when they begin to understand that there's something different about them than their mothers. Mm-hmm. And then they start looking to their fathers to understand what that means. Well, if you're a parent, mother or father, and your 2 or 3 year old is looking for your attention, but then your phone dings saying, say happy birthday to somebody. When you pick up the phone and you see what was that notification about?
That child is looking.
That
like,
child is looking at you like, well, you were just playing with me or engaged with me, and now you're looking at this thing here, and why don't you want to pay attention to me?
It's true.
And there becomes then this break in the attention, and a 2 or 3 year old does not understand why this thing that's in your hand all of a sudden seems more important than they are. And for some young people, that becomes internalized. Well, why doesn't my mom love me, or why doesn't my dad love me enough to pay attention to me? Mm-hmm. Because every time I want to pay attention to them or receive love or affirmation or whatever from them, this phone makes a noise, and now they're more interested in that than me. And what's the matter with me that they don't want to spend their attention on me? And man, when this psychologist said that, man, that cut me deep. I was like, oh my gosh, wow. Just the whole idea of when we are with our children is super important, to just be present with our children.
Right.
And not looking at the phone, playing games on the phone, answering emails or whatever, but really giving our child our full presence and our full attention can go so far into as to their healthy development. Now, I'm not saying that if you look at your phone while your 2-year-old is saying mommy, daddy, or whatever it is they're saying, that you're going to damage your child forever. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that your child is going to turn out in a way that you wouldn't want them to turn out. What I am saying, though, is that this psychologist was discovering that how much attention and focus we give to our loved ones sends them a signal of their value to us. This is what I got out of what he was saying, is that if I really value you, I'm not going to allow my attention to be split between you and this black mirror right here, because that's what it is. If you look at it, when your phone is turned off, it's a mirror. You can see your own face in it, and it's a black screen. This is a black mirror right here.
Yeah.
And I don't want this black hole or this black mirror to get more attention than the people that I love in my life. And so that really convicted me, and especially for children when they need us to help them understand the world, to understand who they are, how they fit in the world, what is their relationship in terms of their relationship with mom, their relationship with dad. Those things translate later on into their thoughts and viewpoints about how they see God, how they see relationships,
especially when you scold them. When you take your, because you're looking at your phone.
Because you're looking at your phone.
So you're pulling your phone and pulling your arm away from them, and you're looking at them meanly. And
that's sending
saying something to them, that black mirror that you're holding is more important than they are.
And so.
And it's not true. They're more important. You didn't ask to be here. Okay.
You didn't ask to be here.
That's what I said. You didn't ask to be here. So. That's the reason why you have to put your phone down, put any of those things down that would distract you. It's the same thing with the Word of God. Put aside anything that would easily beset you, anything that will easily distract you from Him. Spend some time with God alone, you know? Yeah.
And especially when you're young, we all need encouragement and affirmation, and we need someone to make us feel like we matter and that we are valuable and that we exist even.
Yeah.
A lot of this conversation that is in the LGBTQIA2S+ community.
Oh my goodness. I just can't even memorize.
A lot of their political conversations. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the political piece.
Mm-hmm.
Is driven around this theme of I exist. If you don't acknowledge, if you don't acknowledge a trans person's pronouns, you're denying their existence. Have you heard some of the more extreme political maneuverings of this community?
Yeah.
And a person that obviously you do exist, I'm talking to you right now, but I'm not necessarily engaging with your interpretation of your own perspective.
Right.
But I'm not denying your existence. But for that person... For them, obviously there are some deep wounds or traumas that are there that would make them think that just because a person didn't use a word that they wanted to be addressed by, that means that they're saying that they don't exist.
Ugh.
And do you see the connection? How I can imagine how if that person as a child somewhere along the line, they felt like they didn't exist or that their feelings weren't acknowledged, And I'm not talking about trans feelings. I'm talking about 2-3 years old when they begin to first understand that, hey, there's something different between me and my parents. Because young children before the age of 2, they don't know that there's something different between them and their mother. They see them as the same person. I don't know if you knew that or not. But baby development, they don't know that they're a separate person until they start getting into the 2s and 3s.
I heard a little bit different because you can't suck on daddy's chest like you do mommy's.
But that comes out later, you know, as they start understanding that there are some differences between me and these other people.
I heard the boys. I heard the boys know faster than the baby girls do.
Well, that's what the psychologist was saying. At around 2 or 3 years old, when a child begins to understand that I'm not the same as mommy and I'm not the same as daddy, I'm an individual who's different. And for boys, it goes even further because not only am I a different individual than mommy,
but there's something hanging from me.
Yes, there's something different about me than mommy. And this man over here with the deep voice that I seem to identify more with that. Well, if those lines or those wires get crossed, or daddy is absent, or he's really rough, or he's really critical, mom maybe might be very anxious, very fragile, maybe she's over domineering, you know, all those sorts of things. Now this 2 to 3 year old child is saying, my identity as a male or as a female in the case of girls, something doesn't fully get developed. And then later on, when puberty starts hitting, those wounds that happened at 2 or 3, then in some cases become sexualized. That's what the psychologist was talking about after dealing with over 500 men with dealing with these issues. Well, that phone time of not giving that child that full presence and that full attention in some cases for some of his patients was an actual contributor during that critical stage. And I know how it is. You want to just sit them down in front of Cocoa Melon and say, please leave me alone. I get that. Were you tired? You been at work?
I hate Cocoa Melon so bad.
that little cue ball headed baby.
I hate Cocoa Melon so bad. But my grandbabies, I said, y'all, we are not doing Cocoa Melon for a while. They looked at me like, what? And I said, but we'll pick something different. And guess what? It worked.
But we do our child a disservice when this is a very important piece of their development. They need both mom and dad.
Yes, they do.
And they need that information, that development to say, yes, you're a boy and you're just fine as a boy. And I'm glad God made you a boy. And if it's a girl, you're just fine as a girl. I'm glad God made you a girl. He made you exactly the way he wanted you to be. And having that male bonding between father and son, or even just the company of other men who are good, positive mentors during this early stage of life goes so, so far in helping that healthy relationship development later on in life.
And it does not mean that your son is soft just because he doesn't like everything that's maybe rough. I had my one grandbaby, he will get on the top of the gate rope and he don't care how he lands, he just wants to jump. My other grandbaby is like, you gonna die, and no, I'm not getting up there, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not hurting myself. But do you know, the roughest one, which is the younger one, decided he wanted to try the first one and thought my oldest one was soft. Let me just tell you this, he got knocked out. That's all I'm gonna say, okay? So just because a child may be not as risk averse, maybe I should have used that word earlier, not as risk averse, doesn't mean that they're just, they're pansy and they're soft and all that kind of stuff. You guys got to really cut that out. You really do, because it's affecting your man child. It's affecting your man children. It really is. And for you women, and for you mothers, I wish I had a baby doll when I was young. I didn't. But at the same time, I had Kermit. I think it was some other type of thing that was dealing with Sesame Street. But I wanted a doll. I wanted a doll, and I wanted some things like that. But of course, when you're in foster care and different things, there's a lot of things you don't get. And so having said that, I did find a car, or I found something, you know, just because you're young girls, that's another thing. It, just because they decide, I don't want to play with a girly girl, I want to play with this car, doesn't mean that she's domineering. And does that make sense what I'm saying, Jackie?
It does. But like in the case of my upbringing, I was a bit of a tomboy.
Yeah.
So I hated dolls personally. I got one doll when I was a child. It was a Raggedy Ann doll, and that Raggedy Ann doll was ugly and scary, and I didn't want to play with it. I was more interested in playing with the dump trucks, with the
they were more interesting
with the science kits, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. And then when we would go out and we would play in the neighborhood, the boys were just having more fun. They was jumping off of trees and walking across fence tops and running around and playing football and kickball and all that. That stuff was just more interesting to me. But at the same time, my mother always made sure to affirm that you're a girl, you're not a boy, you are a girl, and that, you know, she gave me that gender identity early. To the point where before puberty hit, both girls and boys, as you know, both their chests is flat when you're a young child. And so the boys would be out in the summertime, and they would take their shirts off, and they go running, you know, running, playing, whatever, with their shirts off. And I was like, well, why can't I take my shirt off? You know, I want to take my shirt off because they're taking their shirt off. It wasn't a girl or a boy thing. It was, we're all playing, and they're taking their shirts off because it's hot. Well, I'm hot too. How come I can't take my shirt off, right? And so my mother would explain to me, because you're a girl, you know, things are going to happen when you get older, and there's going to be a reason why you're going to need to be modest in this way. And yes, it may be a little different for you than it is for them, but a day will come and you will understand. And sure enough, a day did come, and, you know, things started happening as I began to mature, and I understood. But when I was young, you know, we'd all play football, and we'd go throw the ball and catch the ball and then tackle people. But eventually there came a time, I say around 12, 13, 14, that I still wanted to be out there playing football with the boys. But all of a sudden, they all wanted to tackle me. And they all wanted to kind of hold on a little longer.
When they call that soccer ball, what was the thing where they throw the kick? What was the thing where they hit you with the ball?
Well, that's dodgeball.
Yeah, that's but, when I was like, no, I don't want to do this. They keep hitting me with the ball.
But there came a time when we all, you know, around that preteen teen, mm-hmm. all of a sudden they were a little bit more interested in tackling the girl, because there was a, you know, they got a little more out of it. And not that I'm saying they did anything inappropriate. That's not what I'm saying. But they were a little more interested in holding on to the girl a little longer as we got older. But that was all part of that development. And so, I've always been sporty. I was always good in sports. I always like active and mathematical and logical things. That's just the way God has built me. And I thank God for it. I was never into the whole dress thing, but that was because I had a bad experience in second grade. And I can tell you the day it happened. So I had to get on the bus to go to school, and it was cold outside. And I had on a skirt this particular day, and it was cold outside.
Y'all don't know what we wear as women suffer.
And I was so cold because this skirt that I said, I will not be wearing no more dresses. Forget it. It's too cold. I don't like it. And for years, I did not wear dresses. And then I became good at sports. To this day, I still have one high school track record standing at North High School right now. You can go up and see my name on the board at North High School. But when I became an athlete, then I had even more of a reason to not wear the skirts, because I didn't want to wear heels and turn my ankle, because literally I was a track runner and I didn't want to cause an injury to myself. And you know, if I hadn't been wearing the dresses, I wasn't good at walking in no heels. So I was like, oh no, I would not be messing up my ankle, turn my ankle, roll my ankle, and then I can't run this sport. No, we won't be doing that.
Hey,
so for years,
I loved heels and I loved running in the heels. I sure did.
I didn't do dresses, forget about it, but it had nothing to do with me being feminine or being a girl or understanding that I was a woman, you know, none of that. Why? Because my mother and father both were present. They were active in my development. I understood the difference between girls and boys, and that was maybe not celebrated, but it was acknowledged. It was acknowledged that, yes, there's a difference between girls and boys, and even though you like these active things, you like these things mm-hmm. that are traditionally more masculine. I mean, for goodness sake, I ended up being a rapper. Hello, a female rapper. That's a male-dominated industry. So all of those things just basically made me uniquely me. And as I got older, I began to appreciate more of the feminine things. Now, I'm to the point now where I like me a good set of Mary J. Blige boots now. I like occasionally dressing up and showing off that I still got it in my auntie age. You know, I like doing that stuff from time to time. Not all the time.
I still like boots. I sure do. All the way up to my knee. I still love them. But you know one thing? Speaking on that, I have to say that I didn't like, I believe, and Dad, I'm sure you're listening, Dad. I can't believe it. My dad is over 85 years old. I can't believe it. Okay. Well, I can't believe what I'm about to say, but I hated the dresses. But my dad was like, you're a lady. You wear the dresses. And if you get cold, they had leg warmers. Now, I'm going to say this. Thank you, Dad, for introducing me to leg warmers, okay? Because he was like, because I didn't want to wear the pants, you know, because I had the dress on it, and he wasn't about to let me wear pants anyway, because as a pastor's kid, as a pastor's mm-hmm. daughter, you have to wear dresses. So thank you, Dad, for allowing me to have leg warmers underneath my dress, you know, and things of that nature. Thank mm-hmm. you, Dad. mm-hmm. I love you. My dad is still alive, and I still love you. Pastor Owen D. Taylor, I love you. So, I love you, Dad.
So this totally was not what I was expecting to talk about today. But
it's fun to talk about these things. It's fun.
And I didn't even pull up a Bible verse today. Oh, my goodness. I'm falling down on the job. but I guess I will just end with the same verse that I talked about before.
We pulled up a few verses. At least we said them by heart, but at least we did say them correctly.
Well, yeah, I did. Just the verse that we talked about before, to set your mind on things above, set your affection on things above and not on the earth. It's Colossians 3. Excuse me. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of this earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Therefore, mortify the things that are holding you back,
right,
or the things that are making your boat heavy, if I can say it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get rid of the things that are causing you to be weighed down or depressed or keeping you from really exercising your faith in Christ to the full.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I want to just end up with is, let's not allow Satan. I'll say it like this. Many of us, we have been saved long enough that we don't do the big stuff, right? We don't steal, or we not gangbanging no more. We gave up smoking, drinking, cussing, you know.
Sexing.
You know, we gave up a lot of those things. So we don't do those big things anymore. But if you're to that point in your Christian walk where you've gotten a pretty good mastery over the big things, now it's time to fine-tune that walk a little bit. And one of the ways we can do that is by not allowing Satan to steal our time with mm-hmm. this black mirror with scrolling and constantly looking at the phone. And as I mentioned before, a couple things you can do. Love recommended turning the phone off altogether at certain times of the day. If you have you really need to focus on a certain thing, turn the phone off completely. If you're not able to do that because maybe your kids need to be in contact with you or emergencies or things like that, you can turn off all the notifications on your apps, and you can take those time-stealing apps off of the front page of your phone so that you have to intentionally open it in order to actually engage with the app. Because Satan is very devious and crafty, and if he can't get you on the big things, and he can still get you on little things like just stealing your time and attention. And especially when it comes to your relationships with your loved ones, I encourage you, and I'm doing this myself, I'm putting myself in the boat, is to be more present when I'm with the people that I love.
Right.
That means putting the phone away if I'm having a conversation. If I'm playing with my nieces, nephews, that I'm not checking my phone or playing a game on my phone or halfway paying attention to them, because I want them to know that they are valuable, they are important to me, that I'm present with them, I'm focused on them, not in a narcissistic way, but that
that's what
they
I do.
Exist and they matter and they are loved.
Yes.
And the more you can give that to your children and your relationships and those that you love, the more healthy those relationships will be. And isn't that what God wants for us and what we want for ourselves, is to have healthy and whole and functional relationships with those that we love?
It works for me because with my grandbabies, I have all boys except for one girl, Emerson. I love you, Emerson. But let me tell you, because I'm with my grandbabies, because I'm not grandma, I'm grandma because I'm glamorous, what I do is I wrestle with my grandbabies. Yes, I do. I wrestle with them. I toss them. I will throw them as far across the room as I possibly can. And they get up. Ah! They love it. They absolutely love it. Bam, bam, and boom, boom. And believe me, exactly what I say their name is, bam, bam, and boom, boom, that's exactly what their personalities are like. Emerson, she's kind of like, you know, she'll do soccer, she'll do dance and things of that nature. And a couple times I really wanted to wrestle with her, but I don't know how she's going to react. I don't know if she's going to give me that side eye. You know how that look that there's a look that M has that I don't know about her, okay? But she'll go like this. See how I'm doing that?
Well, so, don't forget baby Carter.
And now baby Carter, he just grins at me. He just, and I'll blow him a kiss and he'll go. So it's like he's blowing that back to me. I love Carter so much. It's Carter with a K, by the way, y'all.
And just to kind of add to that too, try not to be high to deal with your kids.
Oh,
for example,
Utah. Oh my goodness.
So here at the radio station.
Oh my goodness.
We have offices here in Omaha at the radio station. And we're in a strip mall that has other businesses in the strip mall. One of those businesses is a daycare. And I cannot tell you how many times people drive up to pick up their kids from daycare and they're smoking that weed.
There's not one time that we've came here and there was not a weed smell. Not one.
And
I do mean it.
What I take from
not
that.
Not one time.
What I take from that is, oh man, let me go ahead and get this weed real quick because these kids about to get on my nerves and I need something to calm me down.
No. They're addicted and they have their children addicted and their children been acting up all day long until they get with their mommy or daddy who smokes that mess and it's affecting them, and that's why they're not doing right in child care and daycare.
So
sorry. The truth is the truth. And I hate the smell. It's awful. I'm serious. I just want to spit every time I smell it. It makes me want to throw up.
That wasn't even the angle that I was getting at. The angle that I was getting at is that your children are a gift from God. And yes, children can get on our nerves and it's a constant thankless job that's just day after day after day in, day out. And I get it. It can be rough. It can be tough. And I'm not taking away from that at all. But your child deserves your full attention, your full presence. And some of that presence gets stolen when you are depressing your mental state in order to even deal with them. And what does that say to your child subconsciously to say that, man, am I that unlikable that you literally gotta smoke weed just to even deal with me? Am I that unpleasant to be around? That's the message that we don't want to send. And I know that's not most of you. This is a Christian station. So I know most of you. Most of you.
Get off of it, Jackie. Yes, they do.
Most of you don't mess with that. But for those of you that maybe that's a thing where you literally feel like you need that in order to even deal with your
kids. To function.
Then
there's no line.
There might be that you might need a little break. Maybe you need a day or two where you can recruit or pay for someone to take your children and watch them for a few extra hours so that you can recharge, because it's hard to pour from an empty cup. And if you're using substances in order to just get you through the rest of your time with your child, then that means that there's something that's out of balance and out of order, and it's worth looking into. Mm-hmm. That was all I was saying about it, is that we routinely see that where, oh boy, they got that weed going. Yeah, they really trying to get ready to deal with these kids.
Well,
from
the
daycare.
I've seen both parents doing that stinky, nasty mess. And I don't care, in the church, it's the same thing. There should be a difference. But lately here, I've been wondering what is going on. It stinks so bad. It's awful. But I can tell you this. Your children should have, and someone be like, my kids are so bad. Stop calling them bad. You can start there.
Well, maybe
there.
If you gave
you
them
can
more
start
focused
right there.
Attention.
Yeah, you can start right there. With,
they wouldn't
with
feel.
Not call, don't call them bad, okay?
Right.
Don't do it.
And maybe if they got more of your presence and your attention.
Correct.
And they felt affirmed and felt safe and they felt
yes.
needed, wanted, loved, accepted, etc. Maybe they would not act out as much.
Maybe they wouldn't act out as much if
because
you stop
they, right.
smoking that stuff around them. To where they have to go to school and be without it while you sitting there smoking as many blunts and whatever you like. And that, I don't care, Jackie. It don't matter if you're in there, in the church or not in the church. This goes for anybody who's doing it. And that's one of the things that I've noticed with being here at the Gospel Radio Station, is that this is across the board sometimes. And you know people in your family, is what I'm saying. You know them firsthand. We have to... Because our generations, this is a generational, I'm just going to say it. It feels like it's a generational curse. It feels like you do it or your parents did it or they did it. And so it's like passing down. But this weed that they're doing these days is not the same type of weed that your parents and them came up on. Before, from what I understand, you put it in the oven. You bake it and then you smoke it or whatever you do it. These days, no, this is
what?
No. I'm keeping it real. These days.
Okay, love.
No,
all right.
Don't interrupt me. Let me finish. These days, I heard that they're soaking stuff. They're doing things. It's not your regular mom pops, but it's made to keep you docile. It's made to keep you unmotivated. It's made to keep you in a sleep and in a stupor so that you do not wake up, so that you do not be the mothers and the fathers that you should be to your children. And it's made to the point where you are just docile and like, I don't have any hope and I don't have any certainty. And all I just want to do is just go to sleep, go to bed and not do anything at all. Unmotivated. And I want to say that is exactly what Satan wants for you and wants for your generations and everyone else that comes after you.
Well, John 10:10, don't quote me on that, but I think it's John 10:10 that says that Satan comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus, I have come that you may
have
life
and
may
have
it
more
abundantly. But Satan comes to steal. One of the main things that he steals
time
from us
stealer.
Is our time.
Yeah.
The other thing he steals
Say it,
from us.
Preach that thing. Preach it.
The other thing that he steals from us is our attention. If he can get our minds focused on things that are not useful or effective or moving us forward into our destiny and purpose that God has called us to, then he's won by just simply keeping us distracted.
You better preach this thing.
And so that's why I'm encouraging us as believers in Christ. I'm not saying ditch your phone. I'm not saying don't use tools. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying let's be aware that we don't give Satan more of our time, attention, focus, scrolling, phones, all that other stuff than the things that really matter, which is our focus on God, our purpose, our destiny, our children, our relationships, and our future.
Yes.
Because he has a plan that's been set for us since before the foundations of the world. That's what the scripture
Hallelujah.
Says. Before you were born, before even he created this earth.
Hallelujah.
Did you know that you already were a thought in his heart and in his mind? It said, and you know what? I'm going to pull that up and we're going to end with that.
Come on here. Come on.
Before the foundations of the world were established. Did you know that he already had a plan for you?
Yes.
And how much more important is it that we come into alignment with that plan and we not just allow the latest TikTok trend to steal all of our attention?
Hallelujah.
When he's got a plan that has been set in motion since before he said, let there be light.
Yeah.
He had a plan. Let me pull that verse up here quickly. I didn't have that planned here. So let me pull that up. Before the foundations.
You come on and don't hold back. You hear me? You let go.
It is Ephesians 1:4. I think that's where it is. Let me go there and confirm here real quick. And then after that, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 1.
When?
All right, let me put this up on the screen. I think this is the right one.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and pull that up here quickly. So Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's you and me, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells you right there that God the Father and Jesus Christ are one in nature, but they're not one in person. They're not the same person. They have the same nature, but they're not the same person. And then the Holy Spirit is the third person who has the same nature.
Come on.
But a different personhood and a different function. We don't serve three gods.
That's
We're not
right.
polytheists. We serve one God.
Yes.
And that one God is expressed in three persons who are equal in nature, even though they are distinct in personhood. And this is one of the verses that shows us that. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Both.
Come on.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, continues from there. But
Hallelujah.
He has chosen you and he has chosen me before the foundation of the world. What is the
Hallelujah.
Foundation of the world? The foundation of a house is the first thing that gets built before you build anything else.
You better preach this thing.
So the foundation of the world is the first thing that was built before everything else was built. Mm-hmm. What was the first thing that was built? Genesis 1:1. God said, let there be light.
Mm-hmm.
And there was light. And on the second day, he created. And on the third day, he created. And on the fourth day, he created. And on the fifth day, he created. And on the sixth day, he created humankind, Adam and Eve, you and me, all of humanity. So before we were even created, before he said, let there be light, it says he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
Do you know how special that makes you?
It makes you special. It makes you special enough to say, I don't want to give all my attention to Facebook,
Come
X,
on.
Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok,
yeah.
Telegram,
yeah.
WhatsApp.
Yeah.
What's the other ones out there? Reddit? Did I say Snapchat?
You did. All of it.
Email.
All of it.
Messages. Messenger.
Yep, all of it.
Blue Sky. What's some other ones that's out there? There's a whole bunch of them out there now.
Yeah.
And they're all YouTube. And they're all vying for a piece of your attention. But how much more should we give that attention to the one that has commissioned us and chosen us to be in him before he said, let there be light? He said, that's you, Jane. That's you, Shaniqua. That's you, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you, Dave. That's you, Jafar. That's you, Love Love.
Yeah.
That's me, Lady J. Before he said, let there be light, he had already chosen you and chosen me to be in him through Christ Jesus. Why would I want to do something as meaningless as wasting time on social media when I could be bringing him glory because he chose me before he said, let there be light?
That's you, LaToya.
And he said,
that's you, LaToya.
Not only did he choose us,
he chose you, LaToya.
Not only did he choose us, but it was to the good pleasure of his will. He wanted to do it.
Yes.
He was happy to do it. He was glad when you were born. He was glad when
your
parents came together.
So special. Yes, you are. Yes,
it was his good will and pleasure that you were here.
Yes.
That you were born in 1987.
Yes.
That you were born in 2003. That you were here for exactly such a time as this. Mm. It's his good pleasure that you were here. You're not an accident. I don't care if your conception was an accident to the mother and father that came together. You were not an accident to God.
That's
he
right.
has you here for his good pleasure, his good will. And your children, if you have any, he gave you those children to steward over them so that they could understand this same truth.
Be encouraged.
And the fastest and easiest and best way for you to teach them the nature of God the Father and Jesus Christ is by you being that example in their lives, by giving them your presence,
you,
your attention, by letting them know that it is before you were a twinkle in your mama and daddy's eye,
yes,
I loved
he
you.
He knew you.
Before I even conceived you, I loved you. And when you were born, the first time I laid eyes on you, mother or father, I loved you and you're special to me. And I'm glad you're a boy. I'm glad you're a girl. I'm glad you're mine. I'm glad God gave you to me. And when we honor that truth with giving them our presence, our quality time, our attention, by doing activities with them, by affirming them, by teaching them, by strengthening them, by giving them love, boundaries, guidance, correction, direction, all of those things, we are showing them the nature of the good God who loves us. And the more we can reflect that to them, the healthier they're going to be in the long run.
Hallelujah.
So take that this week. Take it for as you will. Meditate on it. If the Holy Spirit moves you and convicts you about any of that, then praise God for that. Continue to move in the steps that God will have you to move as far as that is concerned. And the last thing I'm going to end up with is God loves you so very much, and he wants your attention.
Yes.
He don't want you distracted with this phone. He want you distracted
with this black mirror,
with this drama.
Right.
Or just things that would just pull your attention and focus away from him.
Detox yourself from all that drama, from all that fighting and all of that.
There's a couple of topics that I'm thinking about as we're closing here. One would be the effects of dopamine and other chemicals and how it keeps us addicted to cheap rewards without the work.
Quick thrills.
Yeah, and there are other things that we could talk about as well. And so I'm writing down my list of other topics to put on the website and et cetera. And, let me close with this. Please, please, please put your email in for our weekly newsletter at aihidden.info, aihidden.info. Put your email in. We got exciting information about the dark side of all of this technology that is being put together.
You don't want to miss
in these last days. Everything from emojis and how some of them are
what
literally spell casting.
Right. You don't want to miss this.
The dark side of the music industry from AI's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The dragon in the machine. All of those things. I'm writing this stuff as fast as I can, and I'm putting together a weekly newsletter. Please put your email in there.
She actually spoke to AI, but it wasn't just the surface AI. She went deep down levels that you would not ever think or dream and came up with the answers. It's very, very interesting. You don't want to miss this.
So AIHidden.info. Of course, if you like this episode or any of our past episodes, you can go to mindhisbusiness.com. We upload every week when we do this broadcast. We put it on the website so you can go back and listen to it again if you enjoyed it. Or you can listen to our past episodes. They're all, we're adding more of our previous episodes every week. And if you missed a piece of this episode right now, you can re-listen to it. We rebroadcast it during our morning show, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. So make sure you tune in there. And with that, I think we're going to end it up this week.
Yeah, and there's going to be some times when we use words that normally we wouldn't use, and that's because we can get copyright strikes and things like that. So if you see us talking in code, moving forward and things of that nature, and some of the stuff that we've had in the past, that's the reason why. Okay.
Well, that's why some of the content is going to be behind a membership wall.
Correct.
Because some of those things are sensitive enough that, you know, we don't just want it in the hands of everybody.
You got it.
Things like the special prompting tools and prompts that I use to get AI to give me the information that normally is censored. That'll be behind the membership wall at AIHidden.info. So there's things I can't put there. I might even put that YouTube video of that psychologist talking about the development.
Oh, absolutely.
I might put that on.
Oh, you have to.
I'll either put it on the newsletter or I'll put it on the Mind His Business
site. At first, I thought you were going to play some of it today, but.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Because all of those topics, they matter to those of us who are believers. And in these last days, it says that in Daniel that knowledge shall increase. Well, knowledge has increased, and AI is making that increase even faster.
But it also said ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because it's trying to turn to technology instead of turn to King Jesus.
It's trying to turn this technology into a God.
Right.
That's what it's trying to do. Oh, and that's the other thing.
Right.
Maybe next week I'll bring up that alien Jesus church down there in L.A. All right. Well, more to come in the future. But for now, we're going to sign off.
Yep. And join us next week. Now, make a note about that so that we don't forget.
I might put that on the newsletter at AIHidden.com. Info.
Okay.
I'm going to put a link to the video that we saw about the alien Jesus church, because y'all know aliens are just fallen angels in disguise, and I'll have to explain a lot more of that, which that will be on the newsletter as well.
But you know, the stuff that they're making it out to be is very deceptive. Be careful. Do not be deceived. Don't be lied to, and don't believe no lies, okay?
So, yeah, AIHidden.info. Just put your email in. We'll get you notified when each newsletter drops. There will be things that you'll get for free. There will be some things that will be behind the membership wall, only for those that are serious about the truth and the knowledge, the things that we don't necessarily want the general public to know. So we'll do it like that.
All right.
With that, I'm Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.